From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, as part of his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. The text is verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, where Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. In the earlier part of the message, we saw that Paul rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel, in the experience of the merits of Christ, and in the effects of the gospel in the lives of the Roman Christians. He testified that the gospel was the core of his existence, the substance of his preaching, his praying, and his living. Now the apostle comes to describe the task God has laid upon him as Christ's servant. It was to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, this was a high privilege. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the introduction to part two of this message called The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. Before he comes, please listen to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled A Sound Heart. The text is Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We may regard this inspired prayer as containing within itself the assurance that those who keep close to the Word of God shall never have cause to be ashamed of doing so. See, the prayer is for soundness of heart. A sound creed is good. A sound judgment concerning it is better. But a sound heart toward the truth is best of all. We must love the truth, feel the truth, and obey the truth. Otherwise, we are not truly sound in God's statutes. Are there many in these evil days who are sound? Oh, that the writer and the listener may be two of this sort. Many will be ashamed in the last great day when all disputes will be decided. Then they will see the folly of their inventions and be filled with remorse because of their proud infidelity and willful defiance of the Lord. But he who believed what the Lord taught and did what the Lord commanded will stand forth justified in what he did. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Men much slandered and abused shall find their shame turned into glory in that day. Let us pray the prayer of our text, and we may be sure that its promise will be fulfilled to us. If the Lord makes us sound, he will keep us safe.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
We return tonight to Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, though we'll be concentrating particularly on 11 and 12 tonight. 8 through 15 mark the actual introduction to the body of Paul's teaching in the book of Romans. 16 and 17 give you the great theme statement of the whole epistle. This is the introduction to that theme. You see that in verses 8 to 12, Paul is making the point that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so glorious and powerful that it must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. It must make itself known in the lives of believers. And then in verses 13 through 15, he carries the argument a little further and shows that if this gospel is so glorious and powerful as we say it is, then we must make it known to other people. It's a gospel that demands to be made known. Tonight we're returning to verses 8 through 12. This is the part that teaches us that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who profess it. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Last Sabbath evening, I was pointing out that the gospel not only enlightens the mind, but it governs the will. That it demands that we live our lives in accordance with its light. So that the gospel itself is the foundation of the Christian life. And the gospel is the fullness of the Christian life. And that's the whole point of what Paul is saying in verses 8 through 12. He illustrates this point from his own experience. We were tracing that experience. Verse 8, he proves his point from his thanksgiving. And we noted the things that moved Paul to praise. Wonderful things that certainly tie in to the very essence of the gospel. He was rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejoicing in the experience, both his and theirs, of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was rejoicing in the effects of Christ's merits, obvious in the lives and testimonies of the people in the Church of Rome. So Paul's thanksgiving was an illustration of how his life was rooted in the gospel, founded upon the gospel, and how the gospel informed his life with fullness. Then in verses 9 and 10, we noted his testimony. What a wonderful testimony it is. Starting off with the solemn words, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. So on through verse 10. I'd better not preach Paul's testimony again, or I'll do what I did last week and not get to verses 11 and 12. Having looked at those, we now follow Paul into verses 11 and 12, where he illustrates the truth that the gospel is the fullness and the foundation of the Christian life by describing his task, the task that God had laid upon him as his servant. Now, put very simply, Paul's task was to lead people to an experience of the power of God unto salvation by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having led them to experience the power of God unto salvation, it was his task to settle those people in the faith of the gospel that they had trusted for the saving of their soul. That's what his ministry was all about. If you take your New Testament, you'll find that explains the book of the Acts, and it explains all the epistles. What was Paul doing? What were the rest of the apostles doing? They were seeking to bring people to experience salvation by grace through faith. And having done so, to settle those people in their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, when Paul wrote to the Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 21 and then 23, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Understand what he's saying? To me to live. That's one of those little phrases that has got into the language so much that we just let it trip off the edge of our tongue and we don't really stop to think what it means. Quite simply, it means, as for me, as far as I'm concerned, we might say, speaking personally, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. And then in verse 23 he says, "I am in a strait betwixt two." I am in a dilemma. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. When he said that, what he meant simply was, Jesus Christ is my great gain, whether I live or whether I die. Personally, I'd rather die. The world holds no charm, no delight in itself, no great attraction. I'd rather go to be with Christ, for that's far better. But for the sake of serving Him, by winning souls and by getting those people just like yourselves under the teaching of the gospel, so that they may learn to live out their faith, so that they may win other souls and get them living out the gospel, that they may win other souls and they may live out the gospel. And so the cycle goes on and on and on. In order to facilitate that, he said, it's more needful that I should live, and I'm willing therefore to live rather than to go to be with Christ. That was his task, to preach and teach the gospel. Now here in the verses 11 and 12 of Romans 1, he explains the task, and he seeks to accomplish something as he's explaining his own task, and that's to make these people understand the role of the gospel in grounding their lives and in letting them live their lives to the very full. Now you'll notice that he introduces four great aspects of the gospel task in verses 11 and 12. He speaks of enriching. He speaks of establishing and edifying God's people. And he speaks of evangelizing the unconverted. And the way to do all this, how is it done? It's by exploring the fullness of the gospel of justifying grace. Now, the first element in Paul's task, and I have to say the first element in our task, if our lives are commanded by the gospel, if they're founded upon the gospel, if we're living in the fullness of the enjoyment of the gospel, then these are the things that must be evident in our life's work, individually and as a church. The first one is that we'll deal with is evangelism. Now, I say evangelism because that permeates the whole text. It's very obvious that Paul had a great desire to go to Rome. And he saw his going to Rome as an opportunity to evangelize. His mind worked very simply in this matter. I have been to other great cities, and everywhere I have gone, I have had opportunity to preach Christ. I have had opportunity to win souls. I have had opportunity to found churches. And across Asia Minor, for example, there was a great moving of God because of Paul's ministry. He had an experience of being in great cities and seeing great works done for God. Now there was the greatest of all the cities of the Roman Empire. There was the imperial capital. There was the center of the world. People of every race, of every kindred, of every tribe, of every type flocked to Rome. And as Paul thought of that seething mass of people, he could not do other than have a burden to evangelize them. He saw going to Rome as a great opportunity of heralding the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse 15, he goes on to say, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. I'm ready to go to Rome to preach the gospel. Over in chapter 15 of this same epistle, he writes to the Romans, and verses 15 and 16, he says, Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace of God that is given to me, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. That's how he looked at going to Rome. God has given me grace, favor, a privilege. I think many preachers lose that sense of privilege. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And I preach more to myself here than anybody else. In the work of God, it is easy to be overcome with the detail and at times the drudgery. Paul says that much study is a weariness to the flesh. It is easy to be overcome by the toil, by the trouble, by the problems, by the burdens that God's people face and they bring to the pastor's office, quite rightly. It is easy to be weighed down with a ton weight of all these things and to lose that overwhelming sense, this is the grace of God. I could be out serving Satan tonight. I indeed, had it not been for the grace of God, I would already have been in hell tonight. And I ought never to forget that. Paul says this is grace. This is a gift of God. This is a privilege beyond definition, description, or conception, that God would take me, the chief of sinners, and give me the privilege of preaching the good news of the gospel. And he says, as he did that, he gave me especially the privilege of being a minister to the Gentiles, to go to the offscouring of all flesh, to the heathen, to go to the utterly ungodly, the unclean and the defiled, the heathen, and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. That's the gift that God has given to me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.